Now, let me tell you the background of today's text a little bit. This text was part of the first letter that Paul the Apostle wrote to the Christians in the city of Corinth, Greece, modern-day Greece. You know, this is what Paul the Apostle, he used to do. He goes to one place, a new place, and he starts a brand new church. When the church settles in, then he moves on to the next. So that's what he exactly did in the city of Corinth. He began a new church, and he did not stay there a long time, and he moved on to the next place. So there was a man whose name was Apollos, who followed Paul. Apollos was a great Bible teacher. So a few years later, then there was a division developed among the believers. Half of the congregation who still remembered Paul and still followed him as their leader, yet the other half followed Apollos. So in this letter to the Corinthian Christians, Paul lamented over the division. And he said four times in a row in today's letter, "You are carnal." Now, this is basically what he says. You are immature. You are still babies in Christ because of the division and envy and strife among you. You act like people who don't know Christ at all. "Do not follow me," he said. "Do not follow Apollos either. Follow Christ only." Keep that background in your information, because I'm going to, you know, just coming back. Once I met a lady who claimed that she was spiritual, but not religious. How many of you heard of that expression? Spiritual, but not religious. Okay, so that day I met this lady too. Nowadays, many of people in America consider themselves spiritual, but not religious. And this is what they mean, okay? That they believe in God, but not necessarily go to church on Sunday morning. Or they are not necessarily associated with any organized religion, quote-unquote. I guess nowadays anyone can call themselves any way they want. However, we the believers must have the clear and right understanding of what the Bible says about those terms. Whoever started this, you know, fancy word, spiritual but not religious, never know the Bible. Okay? Now, one thing is for sure. The lady's claim, being spiritual is definitely not what the Word of God calls spiritual. If you get this point, you got my entire sermon, okay? Being spiritual in the Bible never, ever means just having faith in God. James 2:19 says this, "Even the demons believe that there is one God." You see how it goes? Does it make the demons are spiritual too? Because they believe in God. Now, this is what it says in the Bible. The word spiritual is reserved for those folks who are mature in Christ, in their walk with God. Now that's what we're going to talk about and think about this morning. Three types of people in terms of spirituality. In today's text, we see three words that are related to our spirituality in the order of maturity. If you look at the bulletin one more time, I highlighted in boldface. There are three words highlighted there. Natural, carnal, and spiritual. That's what I'm talking about this morning. God's Word makes a very clear distinction among these three words. Natural, carnal, and spiritual. Okay, let me explain to you one by one. Natural. It's not the natural that you're thinking of, natural world. You know, things of a nature. No, that's not what I'm talking about. How does the Bible define a person who is natural? A person is natural when she does not believe in Jesus as her Savior and Lord. The natural person does not have the Holy Spirit either. And therefore, she cannot say that Jesus is the Lord. Now, this definition of natural person includes, but not limited to, atheists, agnostics, and all the followers in other religions than Christianity, such as Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, Shamanism, and Shintoism, and etc. Anyone who does not confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior is natural. Okay? Now, the natural person is outside Jesus and therefore cannot know or distinguish spiritual things of God. These spiritual things of God are hidden from their eyes and rather appear to them foolishness. Think of the message of the cross. This is what Paul says. When I took the message of cross to the Greek, the people of Greece, they considered it foolishness. Now, the Greek, you know, they were proud of themselves as what? Philosophers, right? In Athens, for example. When they first heard the cross message, the message of the cross, they thought it was a foolishness. What kind of God is that? That who sent his own son to die on the cross? It's foolishness in their own mind. When the same person took the same message of the cross to the Jews, the way they took it as a scandal, stumbling block. They took offense at it. Why? Because in Jewish mindset, if a person dies on the tree, the person is a curse. You see what I'm saying? Jewish folks always look for the blessings. But the person dies on the cross, you know, tree is a curse. And after all, God sent and made his own son die on the cross. And to them, it was a stumbling block. Foolishness. Now, the wisdom of the natural person, the Bible says, is not from above, but rather earthly, sensual, and even demonic. Now, the words that you hear from me, basically all the words found in the Bible. I just skip all the scripture references. The natural people walk in the futility of mind. That means that after all, doing all of this, you don't get anything. That's the futility of mind. Darkened in their understanding. They are excluded from the life of God, the Bible says, not because God wants them to be that way, but because of the ignorance in them and because of the hardness of their heart. Having become callous, they give themselves to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. We are living in that world today. And they are perishing in God's sight because the God of this world, with small g, that is the devil, has blinded their minds that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Why do you think some people have such a hard time coming to know Christ? You gotta know the spiritual reality, because the devil blinds their minds, like a covering their minds with a thick, heavy towel. The Bible calls it, the gospel is veiled to the natural people. When they hear the word of God and word of kingdom, they do not understand it, because the evil one once again comes and snatches away what has been sown in their hearts. Let me just explain to you. You know, whenever you listen to the word of God, what your enemy tries to do is snatch away the word of God is about to be sown in your heart. Okay, how many of us have an experience that whenever the pastor stands in the pulpit and starts preaching, in 2 or 3 minutes, your mind goes off someplace else? Yes, it does. It does, folks. Now, let me tell you, you think, if Pastor Choi says, well, it happens especially when you are in the church and about to listen to the sermon. And someone says that, well, it's a common human experience, isn't it? You know, our mind goes off to someplace else. So let me tell you, it never happens to you when you watch your favorite TV show. True, folks. I want you to realize this. Okay, if you tell me, oh, Pastor Choi, it happens when I watch my favorite TV show, my mind goes off in 3 minutes. No, it never does. Why think it is? But it happens to almost everyone sitting in the pews on Sunday morning, especially when pastor starts preaching. Your enemy's at work, folks. You don't see it. You don't see it. But the enemy is working very hard to make sure that you don't get any word of God planted in your heart and your soul. That's the reality, folks. Okay? Why the enemy never bothers you when you watch your TV show? He says, have more, watch more. It doesn't affect his work. It actually helps his work. You see what I'm saying? But when you listen to the word of God, enemy always very hard at work. Okay? Now that's what's happening. Now do not be arrogant that you are not natural. In fact, before we knew Christ, we were all natural in God's eyes. We didn't know Christ, we didn't have the Holy Spirit, and our spirits were dead in sin. Now, some of us wonder, what's that mean? Spirits were dead. It means that, have you ever tried to communicate with a person who's dead? Did you have breakfast this morning? No response. Did you have a good day yesterday? No response. Okay, it's only one-way communication, isn't it? Now, God has been trying to communicate with the dead, you know, the person, natural, whose spirit is dead. God keeps sending the message of, I love you, I care for you, and all these things. The person never responds back. That's what it means. Our spirits were dead in sin. We lived according to our fleshly desires, the Bible says, and we served and worshipped those by nature who are not gods. You know, a friend of mine, he's an ardent fan of Bob Dylan. How many of you like Bob Dylan? Some of you, that's all right. You know, Bob Dylan was much into this Christian gospel in 1980s. And he made a bunch of Christian gospel songs in those days. And one of them called, You Gotta Serve Somebody. You know the song? Okay, good. Now, there are 7 or 8 verses here. I don't have time to read all of them. Here's one verse. It says, you may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna go have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. When we're in natural, we worship and serve someone. Either the Lord, but the devil. But in those days, the devil. Thank God, because he has called us to be in his kingdom and we are no longer natural. So that moves us into the next stage, which is carnal. What is carnal? Who is carnal? A person is carnal when he or she believes in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. However, the person also has the Holy Spirit. However, still lives according to the worldly pattern. The carnal believers were born into God's family, yet not growing and still remain babies in faith and practice. Like babies can digest only milk, not solid foods, the carnal Christians cannot digest the truth well. If you read Matthew 18, Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault in private. Okay? If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Let's pretend that you indeed see someone is not doing right, and goes in, you know, you go in private and tell them, well, you know, would you just, you know, correct that or stop doing it? If the person takes it well, the person is not carnal. However, carnal believer does not handle well the admonition of truth from other believers. The carnal believers base their faith on humans, not on Christ. Therefore, they tend to create factions. Remember today's text where some believers followed Paul and other believers followed Apollos? That's why Paul says you are all carnal 4 times, he says. The carnal Christians are not grounded in the Word of God, that they are tossed here and there by waves. When Paul was there, they followed Paul. When Apollos was there, followed Apollos, you see? They are carried about by every wind of doctrine. They're easily tricked by man, and they are also easily tricked by craftiness and deceitful scheming. They're also led by various impulses, weighed down with sins. That means they're still struggling, you know, with the snare of the sins, and constantly learning, yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you truly love yourself, you would evaluate yourself. Am I making progress in my spiritual journey with God? In other words, if you compare 10 years ago you and 10 years after you now, do you see the progress in your spiritual journey? Carnal Christians, they still walk according to their own desires, like the days when they didn't know Christ. Their minds are still set on the things of the flesh that leads to death. In other words, after living all these years of life, and in the end, you don't get the eternal life. That's what it means, leads to death. Help me out, folks. Am I way off if I think a lot of us, too many of us, think and believe and act and live every day as if this life we have on earth is the only life we have? 24 hours, whatever minutes we have, how often you think of the other side? There is another life waiting for us called eternal. The life we have is only 70, 80 years. There is another life waiting there, eternal. Our minds are still set on this life. And a lot of us think this way. Well, just in case, like insurance coverage, I want to believe in Jesus. Just in case I die. But we still act and live like this life is the only life we have. In the lives of carnal Christians, little or no fruits of the Holy Spirit are demonstrated, such as peace, joy, love, and kindness, and gentleness, and self-control. And here are the list of sure signs of carnality. If you get into the frequent rage, that's the sign of carnality. Lack of self-control. Addictions to gambling, games, pornography, and the love of money. This is alarming, folks. Statistics say today more than half of the Christian men watching pornography. Very alarming. A vast majority of believers today belong to this category. We don't have to be this way though, folks. We should never be content. We should be very frustrated with our spiritual state because we ought to grow in maturity. And that leads us to the next point, which is spiritual. A believer is spiritual when she believes in Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord, and she also has the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and she's mature in faith and practice, and she can digest solid food. Her faith is grounded in God's word, the truth, not in human words of wisdom. She doesn't follow Paul or the Apollos. She follows Christ alone. She's trained to distinguish what is good from what is evil. She accepts the word of admonition with gratitude and humility. It's not easy. But someone comes to you and speaks the truth out of love, she takes it with humility. Her first and foremost interest in life is to please God and doing God's will. She walks according to the Holy Spirit. By the way, the definition of spiritual, in my own definition, is following the Spirit. She walks according to the Holy Spirit. She sets her mind on the things above and of the Spirit. And her life demonstrates signs of love, peace, and righteousness, and she stands fully assured in every will of God. And she also demonstrates spiritual wisdom. I like that, spiritual wisdom. How many of you love the story of Jesus in John chapter 8? Jesus was in the temple one day and a bunch of men brought one lady, poor lady, who was caught in the middle of adultery. They all had stone in their hands, about to throw the stone at her. Master, teacher, what do you say about this woman? Jesus didn't say a word. He kept scribbling on the ground. And when they insisted to tell them what they should do about the woman, Jesus stood up and says, if there's anyone with no sin, let him be the first to throw the stone at her. Well, there was a dead silence, and then one after another, from the eldest to the youngest, these men dropped their stones and disappeared. So Jesus asked the lady afterward, has anyone condemned you? And the lady says, no one did. And Jesus says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Remember that? I would call that spiritual wisdom. Why? Jesus did not compromise with the truth, which was, you shall not commit adultery. However, he did not fail to show God's mercy. So how do you just balance it together? Truth and love, right? Justice and mercy. How do you balance it out? That's why I call it spiritual wisdom. Spiritual person can do that with God's help. Now let me remind you one more time. We all were once natural, not knowing God and outside of salvation. We too were foolish and disobedient and deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We too lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Some of us still do. Okay? However, by God's grace, we were called to be the children of God in Christ and to be the co-heirs of heaven with Christ. You would be delighted if someone called you and said, by the way, John, we just found out that you are the heir of the $1 million. You'd be thrilled to death. But you know what? God calls us and says, you're going to be the heir of the kingdom of heaven, eternity. How many of us seriously, I'm so glad that I could dance. You see, we quite often forget about that. We are born into God's family. We are born anew in Christ. And Jesus saved us from our sins and our spirits became alive again. Remember what I said? Our spirit used to be dead, physical, not. But spiritually we were, and now our spirit is alive, now we can communicate with God. Yet many of us still remain spiritual babies. We are still carnal believers. In our daily lives, we still live like before we knew Christ, and there is not much difference in our lifestyles between us and the people in the world. Many of us still struggle with our natural passions and desires. Many of us are still under the bondage of sin and lust, greed, passion and money. Don't you think it's about time that we moved upward and onward, free from such bondages of old self? We should never be happy with the current state of our spirituality. Neither is God. In fact, God wants us to grow in Christ like any other parent expects her child to grow over time. Now put yourself in God's perspective, okay? If you have a child just born and for the next 6 months the child never grows, it would be the gravest concern for you. What's wrong with my child? Why the child is not growing? That's how God sees at us. He has a plan to turn us from carnal Christians into mature Christians in Christ. You see, his expectation for us is the highest one anyone could ever imagine. You know what that is? God says, be perfect as I am. I said, I can't be. But you know, that's highest expectation God has. Now, we tend to think that perfect means that nothing wrong. We never sin. You know, we never had any shortcomings. No, that's not what it means. It means to be mature in Christ to the point where you and I demonstrate in our words and deeds every aspect of Christ's character, such as love and truth. Until we become mature in the fullness of Christ, this is God's promise and commitment. He will keep working on us, on our inner beings. You can count on his faithfulness, wisdom, and patience. He will take time, folks. You don't have to worry about that. Working on us. He will never give up on us. He will never give up on his part either, until Christ is fully formed in us. You know, God uses many different tools and venues to accomplish his purpose in us. For instance, he often uses our life circumstances and people in our lives to shape us. But you and I don't have to wait until we get into those situations. We can be proactive and practice and prepare ourselves with the tools that God has already made available to us. There are two, scripture and prayer. You know, yesterday I was listening to some story, and the person purchased the Gutenberg Bible for $30 million. The first Bible ever printed with a machine, right? $30 million. And I began to wonder, is the person ever know what's inside the Bible, ever open the Bible and get the true treasure? That's how we do. We have the Bible. We know everything is good about the Bible. God's people seldom open it. How tragic it is. You know what the Bible does? It helps us to know who God is, and it helps us to understand who we are, and it also reminds us the relationship between God and us. If someone asks you, what's the definition of theology? Let me tell you what it is. Definition of theology is this. It's about God, it's about us, and it's about the relationship between the two. That's theology, folks. And Bible tells us all about that. It also equips us for life's journey. Who doesn't need correction once in a while? And Bible does that. It reproves us, it edifies us, comforts us, and grants us wisdom and courage for our daily lives. The second tool God uses, of course, in our, you know, just disposal is prayer. Daily conversation with God. Please do not neglect this great tool. After all, it has been proven useful and beneficial for thousands of years by various people, countless Christians, prophets of God, and Jesus even himself prayed, and his disciples. Finally, let us not forget the Holy Spirit in us. Remember what I said? The Bible says, you have Holy Spirit in you. What does it do in us? It teaches us, and it guides us, and it counsels us, and reminds us of Jesus' teachings. All we have to do is ask, Holy Spirit, please help me. When we do all these things I mentioned, the Bible mentions, then God will grow, help us to grow mature in Christ. And then surely we become, quote unquote, spiritual. Let's bow our heads and pray. Often, Lord, as we were growing up in the church, we got the impression that church is all about rules and regulations and sit up, stand up, show up, that type. But is that really? If we wasted of our years of being a Christian that way, we regret. It's about time that we discover anew the relationship we have with you. Yes, Lord, thank you eternally for calling us to be your child, making us the co-heir of the heaven, the kingdom of God. But between now and the time that we get to that point, we have life to live. You want us, you expect us to grow every day. What have we done? If nothing happens, everything goes smooth, we have not done everything either. That has been our lifestyle, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness. Help us to be proactive and do something about with God's word and discipline ourselves in a prayer and asking for the help from the residential help 24/7 in us, in our hearts. Yes, we don't know how, Lord. However, we begin one step at a time. And you will guide us through into the truth. Help us, Lord, be truly, truly spiritual in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.